Okay, guys, this is Karina. This is my new segment that I'm starting. It's called Watch It or Don't Watch It. So basically, I watch Netflix films so you don't have to in case they're bad. But if in case they're good, then I will, let you know. So I've watched 4 films within 2 days. The first one was Duck Butter, which I actually reviewed with Myra. Myra is actually not here, but she hasn't watched it. And then I watched a scary film, a comedy, a romantic comedy, I'm assuming. And then a new coming of age love comedy drama film. So the first one I'm going to get into it, it's called The Ritual. It's supposed to be scary. I mean, it's creepy. Don't get me wrong. It's not one of those. It's going to give you nightmares. So it's based on these, I believe it's 4 friends. Originally, we were 5. But, one of them passed away. Before that, they had agreed to go on, a guy's trip. But they hadn't decided where. One of them suggested, let's go hiking in the middle of Norway and Sweden. Because it's based in Europe, if I forgot to say that. So, not all of them agree on doing that. But just so happens, right after they're talking about their trip to take, one of them is not ready to go home after a night of drinking. And, they walk past by a liquor store. So he's, he has an idea like, okay, well, let's continue this night. Let's go get a bottle. All of them are ready to go home. All of them are married. They all have families, so they don't want to join. So he's like, come on, let's not call it a night. It's too early. So one of them, being nice, the nicest one of the group, who's married and has kids, he's like, okay, fine, I'll go with you. So they go into the liquor store, and they're talking about the trip, going hiking. And once he finds one of them, not the nice one, the other one that wanted to continue drinking, he finds the bottle that he wants. He turns around and he finds the cashier on the floor all beaten up. So he, natural reaction, freaks out. Then his friend notices that he's freaking out, so he turns and sees it as well. And then from, I'm assuming, the back office of this store, these bad guys come out and they have the manager and they beat him up. So the guy who initially wanted a drink, he gets scared. And his natural reaction is to run away. I'm a hide. Who wouldn't? But his friend, in shock, doesn't react. So he freezes. So at this point, one of them's hiding, the other one is standing, scared. And the bad guys are like, well, give me your wallet. So he gives them the wallet. And then they're like, well, what else you got? And he's like, nothing. He's like, well, give me your ring. He's like, no, that's my wedding ring. He's like, just give me your fucking ring. He doesn't want to. So the guys bash his head in with this, it's like a steel pipe. So they kill him. And the guy who wanted to go into the liquor store is still hiding behind the bottles, the shelves, too scared to go and do anything. So that scene cuts off into them in this hiking trail 6 months later. So, it's safe to say that the guy died. So now what were five friends are now four. So now they're hiking in Sweden. It's the middle of Sweden and Norway. So they're walking. They've been hiking for about a day. And the second day, they're like, okay, well, you know, let's go. Put up the picture of our friend who, you know, passed away. Because he was the one with the idea of going hiking. So, you know, they're respecting his wishes and, you know, taking the hiking trip. So they do that. You know, they say some words and they're all sad. So after that, they're still walking. It's about a 14-hour hiking trip that's remaining. Of course, you know, hiking trails are not just flat. So one of them manages to trip. And he's like, I can't walk. Something's wrong. Like, I tore my meniscus. I know what I'm talking about. My knee's messed up. So the leader of the group, who's, you know, guiding everyone with a compass, not a phone, because I don't know why, for whatever reason, or an iPhone doesn't exist and the map is not on his phone. So he's literally using an old school compass. And this map that's literally of a mountain with absolutely no roads, no nothing. And it's just marked with a red line of a marker of like, oh, okay, well, let's just follow the red line. Whatever. That's not me. I don't do that. I would probably just use my phone. So he's like, okay, well, you know, we still have 14 hours to hike to get back to the lodge. So the guy that, you know, hurt himself, he's like, I'm not going to make it 14 hours. Like, I can't. So one of the guys is like, well, let's go ahead and go find help. And we'll come back for him. The guy's like, you're not going to fucking leave me in the middle of fucking nowhere in this mountain. No, it's cold. It's creepy. No, if you know a shorter way, let's take it. So the guy with the compass is like, oh, well, I mean, we could just cut through the forest. Because, you know, my map that has the red line I made with my marker. And, you know, if I just cut through the forest, we'll cut it in half. Take a 7-hour trip and we'll be in the lodge by night and you'll be okay. So the guy's like, well, fuck it, let's go. Obviously, one of them's like, no, I don't like that idea. We can get lost. Obviously, nobody listens to that guy. So they start walking through the forest. And, you know, I guess some hours in, they find this deer hanging from the trees, you know, split open. All the guts are just hanging. And they're like, what the fuck? So they're like, okay, it must be hunters. What makes you think any sane person a hunter would just hang a fucking deer in trees, gut it, just hang it there, like, for everybody to see, like a display? Nobody does that. You don't see that. Anyways, so they're like, well, it's still bleeding. It's fresh. They just did that. Let's get the fuck out of here. Let's keep walking. That's a smart idea. So they continue walking and it starts getting dark. It starts raining super bad. It's so dark. They don't know where they're going. They're basically lost. Obviously, you know, they're in a fucking forest in the middle of nowhere. So they're there and they're like, well, we need to pitch a tent. And they're like, oh, it's pouring. How are we going to pitch a tent? So in the distance, one of them sees a cabin and they're like, well, let's go check it out. The one who initially didn't want to go through the forest is like, no, guys, let's not, like, let's just pitch our tent. And they're like, no, you're fucking crazy. Do we need to get out of the rain? So they knock the door down and they go in. It's abandoned. It's creepy as fuck. And they're like, well, let's just stay here. So one of them decides to go upstairs and, you know, check out what he can find because, you know, they need to start a fire. It's cold. While he's upstairs, he goes into a room and he finds these twig, well, a lot of twigs formed into a torso. And he freaks out. And he calls his friends, and then they're all looking at it like, what the fuck? And one of them's like, it's witchcraft. They're like, let's just leave it alone. You know, let's go downstairs, just sleep. And as soon as the sun comes out, we'll get the hell out of here. Yeah, everybody thinks that's smart. So they go to sleep. While asleep, the guy who in the beginning went into the liquor store and didn't die starts having this nightmare that he's back into the liquor store and it's all happening again. So he's sleepwalking and then he starts hearing yelling, and it's his friend, the one with the compass. Well, obviously he doesn't have it at this moment, but the one that was leading the group. And he's yelling and yelling. So he's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? You're okay. You're just, you know, you're dreaming. And then the guy's like, oh shit, like I just pissed myself. You know, grown man having nightmares, literally covered in piss. And then the other one's yelling in the corner for his wife. They're like, hey, you're okay. You're okay. Like, wake up. So they wake him up and they notice that they're missing one of them. And then they're like, where the fuck is he? And this is the guy that found this bunch of twigs formed into a torso. So they're like, so they started hearing something upstairs. So they go and they find him butt naked, praying to this twig torso form thing. And they, you know, wake him up and they're like, hey, snap out of it. We need to get the fuck out of here. Somehow it's already morning. How? I don't know. They were hallucinating or they're possessed. We don't know at this point. So they, you know, all creeped out. They start packing their shit and they start walking. And the guy's like, well, we need to go southwest. The guy with the bad knee is like, no, I see a clear path through here. Let's just fucking follow the clear path. I was like, no, that's not even southwest. We need to go southwest to get out of here. He's like, no, I'm gonna go through here because there's no fucking trees. It looks like a path. Obviously, somebody took it. Why? Everybody else is like, okay, yeah, sure, let's go. Don't know. It's a movie. You know. So whatever, they decide to follow this path. While on the path, they are like, well, we need to talk about what happened. They're like, no, let's not. Let's not go into it. Like, this is stupid. Let's just get out of here. Let's just follow this path, get out of here, and pretend this never happened. While they're walking, the guy with the bad knee is complaining, and he's like, we would have never been here, you know, lost, if it wasn't for you, for the guy that. Was it the liquor store? Didn't die. He's like, what is that supposed to mean? At this point, they're panicking. You know, they don't know where they're going. They haven't seen anything for hours. So now they're, you know, they're starting to get to each other. So this guy's like, yeah, well, if you would have actually, you know, not been a coward and defended our friend, maybe he would be here. Or we would have taken another trip. We wouldn't be taking this trip, you know, to honor his death. He would have never been killed if you would have stepped up and done something. So, you know, that's kind of fucked up. And then he's like, does everybody think that? And they all stay quiet because, yeah, it's been in the back of everyone's head like, yeah, dude, like you didn't do anything for our friend. You just let him get, you know, killed. And all you did was hide. Behind the bottles, and after everything happened, you just came out with nothing, no scratches, no nothing, because you hid. So He does what anybody would. He punches the guy with a bad knee. And so they start fighting, and they're like, the guy with the compass is finally says, like, yeah, we need to stop. Like, I know we're all scared, but we're going to get out of here. Let's just, you know, let's calm down. So one of them decides to go up the hill and see if he could see something ahead, you know, go southwest, which is up the hill, to see if he can see a road, a cabin, the lodge, something. So he goes up there and finds nothing but more trees. While he's up there, he's, you know, remembering what happened at the liquor store. And then he hears something, you know, far away. And he's like, what? You know, starts staring to see if he can see it. Well, he's there, you know, everything's quiet, you know, because you're in the forest. There's no cars, there's nothing. He hears, you know, twigs breaking, leaves moving, and then he sees it like a little glance of something moving through the trees, and it's this giant thing. You know, we don't really see a clear thing or a clear face, but it's tall. So he freaks out, starts running, goes back to his friend. He's like, there's something out there, something huge. Let's get out of here. So, you know, they start walking through the path that this guy, you know, says it's clear. And it starts getting dark, and they're like, we need to pitch a tent. Let's just pitch it. So they do. Back again, they fall asleep. And they start having the nightmares again. And then this guy again is in the liquor store seeing what happened to his friend over and over again. And he wakes up because one of them is screaming. So he snaps out of his sleepwalking dream, I'm assuming. And he finds his friend's tent, the one with the compass, torn open, and there's blood. And then he starts hearing his friend screaming from a distance and growling. And so you're assuming this monster is, you know, he has his friend. So they're freaking out, and he's like, I'm going to go find him. So he starts running, like yelling for him. His name is Hutch, the one that he's looking for. And then the guy with a bad knee, his name is Dom. He's like, we need to stop. We're going to get lost. And we need our gear, you know, because they have food or whatever they need. He's like, let's go back and get our gear, and then we can come back and look for him. You know, because that's a smart idea. Fine. So they go back and they get their shit, and they start looking for him. And they find him hanging in a tree like the deer that they first saw. Gutted. Dead. And they're freaking out. So they don't want to leave him there. So they cut him down. And they're like, we need to go, we need to go. Like, let's get out of this place. Dom, the one with the bad knee, he's like, I can't leave him here. Like, we need to take him. They're like, no, we can't carry him. He's like, well, you can't just leave him on the ground all gutted. So he decides to cover him up with sticks and shit, you know, not bury him. So, you know, they're thinking, we'll just cover him up and we'll go and find help and we'll, you know, come back for the body. So they start walking, and one by one they start getting picked off. The one that was found praying to the twig thing, he gets eaten. So now it's just Dom and the other guy. And they're hiding behind this tree branch in the dark while this animal monster thing is hunting them. So they decide they need to make a run for it. Obviously, Dom has a bad knee. He's limping. It's hurting. He's like, at the count of three, we're gonna start running. So the guy's like, okay. So they start coming down. And at three, they take off. They're running for their lives. And this thing sees them. And it's growling. You still don't get to see it as an audience. You don't get to see this monster, animal, whatever it is. So it's coming at them. And they're running and running. And they make it into another cabin. So they open the door and there's people in there. They automatically think they're going to help them, but they don't. They end up tying them. And it cuts off to this other scene where they're in the room tied up. And Dom, the one with the bat knee, he's like, oh, I'm going to die. I saw this in my dream. I saw these people. That they sacrificed me to this monster. And the guy's like, stop, like, it's not gonna happen. He's like, no, I saw it. And I saw my wife. So this old lady comes into the room. And she has a container and she sees the guy. Not Dom, the other one. And she pulls his shirt down. And he has this, like, mark on him. Like something with sharp nails clawed into him. And she's like, oh. So she pulls down her shirt and she has the same thing. And she gives him water. It says something in Sweden. He doesn't know either because he's from another country. So she leaves and she goes to the other guy. And she tells the other people, like, in her language, like, him, take him. And he's like, the other guy's like, no, don't, like, give him water, give him something. She doesn't listen. They take him. They don't show you where they take him, but you can hear growling and chanting, and he's just yelling. And this girl comes in, and she tells the guy, like, don't worry, shh, you know, calm down. Everything's going to be fine. It's going to be over soon. The sacrifice is going to happen fast. And he's like, what? What about me? And she's like, no, like, you'll be fine. Because what we do is that we pray to this God and he takes away the pain, whatever pain you have, and you won't feel it anymore. And you don't grow old. You don't die. There's no death here. What does that mean? I don't know. And why they're telling him this? I'm assuming because he has all this grief and this pain in him because he watched his friend get killed and he didn't do anything about it. And that's why he was chosen. So they finally take this guy, Dom. They tie him up to some log. And they're there chanting something in Swedish or Norwegian. I don't know. And he's like, come on, get it over with. Kill me. And they're like, yeah, well, it's going to happen right now. So this monster starts approaching him. And Dom sees his wife. I'm assuming because he's scared. You know, he's in his last minutes of his life. So he's like, oh, Gail, you're here. So he starts forgetting that he's scared. But then he realizes that it's this monster. So now we finally get a look of this monster. And it's hard to explain. But picture a moose. Yes, I said a moose. Picture a moose without the moose head. Instead of the moose face, it has the torso of a body. You know, the top. That torso does not have a head. It's just a torso. Has the hanging hands. And at the bottom of the torso, it has this, like, slit. Yeah, I said slit. It looks like a fucking vagina. Open right under the torso. And it has eyes. What? Exactly. I know what you're thinking. That I can't. I can't see it. I can't explain it anymore. I mean, it's a torso. It has the fucking, you know, antlers of the moose. If you guys don't know what a moose is, you need to Google it and so you can picture it in your head. So it has the antlers. It has the torso with the hands, the slit of the vagina-looking thing with eyes, and it starts grabbing Dom with its little hands, you know, from the torso. And it starts squeezing his eyes. And then the torso picks up and, you know, starts eating it. Yeah. The slit that looks like the vagina with the eyes doesn't eat you. Somehow it opens up to a mouth and it eats it. So his friend, who's still tied up, sees it from this little crack in the cabin. And he's like, what the fuck? I need to get out of here. You know? So he starts trying to get out of there, but he's tied up. So he can't get his hands out of the rope to him. Unless he broke his finger. So he decides, fuck it, like, I need to break it to get out of the rope. Breaks it, unties himself, and he starts getting out. And he starts burning the cabin. He goes into this room where he hears chanting and growling and all these weird noises. He doesn't know what's going on. So he goes in, opens it, and it looks like a bunch of people praying to something who is also dead, because the people are dead. You know, picture zombies that have not eaten brains or a body or blood in months. You know, they're drying up their bones and it's just, they're falling apart. They're praying to this thing, assuming they're praying because it's a chant. They're all chanting the same thing to another body who is also falling apart. And he's like, what the fuck is this? So he starts burning them with a torch that he found. And he eventually is like, well, I need to get out of here. So when he's walking out, he bumps into the old lady that gave him water. And she's about to scream for, like, you know, for the other people to come get him. So his instinct is, punch her. Well, you know, who cares? She's an old lady, but she's trying to kill me. And she killed my friends. So he punches her. She falls. And he makes it outside. And this monster realizes that the cabin is burning with the people who chant, I'm assuming, to him. So he starts getting mad. And the people who sacrificed Dom for him are, you know, kneeling down, like, oh, God, like, you know, we're sorry. So he starts attacking the people that prayed to him. So the guy starts running, finds a gun, and he decides he's going to shoot this moose-looking monster. He shoots it. Doesn't do anything to the monster, obviously, you know, because it's supernatural. And it starts chasing him. So he's running for his life. He's just running in whatever direction. He doesn't even know. He's just running and running and running and running and running. And the thing is almost getting him. While he's running, he goes into this dream. The dream like that he was having. That he's back at the liquor store. And it's just a bunch of lights, like, guiding him. Like, go through here. So he starts following the lights. And this creature's still, you know, following him. Eventually, he makes it out of the forest into this open plain field. And the creature stops. And he's just growling at the guy. And so the guy starts growling back. So the creature growls, he growls back. And then back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And that's it. He manages to get out of there. He gets out. And end of the movie. Overall, it's creepy. It gets you. It has a good plot. terrible, terrible monster, creature, whatever it is. It's not scary. Whoever thought about it, you know. So I was Googling to see if it was based on something. And it is. It is based on something. So it derives from Norse mythology. But it was put together with like two creatures put together. To me, it's three. Because it has a human torso. It has a moose. And then it has this weird face with yellow eyes, which to me is a demon. Yeah, that's a movie. It's creepy. It does, you know, have its, you know, moments. But the creature's not scary. So that's, you know, that's, I'll give it a 6 out of a 10. I mean, if you're bored, you want a little scare, you can watch it. That's an okay film. So, just so y'all remember, it's called The Ritual. Watch it at your own risk, but it's not that great. 6 of a 10. It's a maybe watch it. So, next, I watched the new, what's a comedy, romance comedy, Ibiza. You know, it's kind of like The Hangover meets, what would be the film? The Hangover meets Can't Hardly Wait, you know, because the guy's trying to get to the girl that he's in love with, and he kind of, you know, never does. But in this one, she does get to him eventually, but she has to fly to some other place. So it's just three girls who are from New York. They go to Barcelona because one of them is working there. Her name is Harper. And they decide to, you know, well, let's go clubbing. You know, when in Barcelona, go clubbing. And they're there. And Harper is dancing. And one of the guys is like, well, let me give you some love. She's like, okay, sure. So he starts drawing on her with a marker, but it's not a Sharpie. I'm assuming it's like a black light marker because you don't see what's on her face until the neon, the black light turns on and you see it's a big giant cock. So she's there dancing like an idiot and the DJ's playing songs and she invites another DJ named Leo, who turns out to be the actor who plays Robb Stark in Game of Thrones. But he obviously is not like Robb Stark. So she's looking at him and he's trying to tell her like, hey, you have a big giant cock on your face. She's like, what? You like my face? You know, they're doing that pointing thing at each other like, who, me? Yeah, you. So he's like, come over here. And she's like, oh, okay. You know, like, he likes me. So she goes over there and she's like, oh, telling the bouncers, like, oh, well, the DJ is calling me. And he's like, yeah, let her in. She's cool. And so he eventually gets her back there and he takes her to this back room. And he's like, well, I want to tell you that you have a giant cock on your fucking cheek. And she's like, what? Yeah. And he takes a picture and shows it to her. And she's like, oh, fuck. It's probably that idiot that's like, let me show you love. So he, you know, raises it from her face. And they're having a moment. They're both nervous. you know, babbling. And eventually he's like, well, I need to go do my set because he's a DJ. She's like, oh, okay. He's like, in case I don't see you, here's my number. I'm going to keep the picture of you with a cock on your face to blackmail you. You know, if you don't text me or call me, I'm going to keep it. So she's like, okay, cool, whatever. So she goes back out to the dance floor and she sees his set and she likes it. And she realizes, like, oh, he's gorgeous. So she goes and finds her friends who are now at a VIP. This random old man. And the random old man's like, hey, I'm friends with the DJ. Why don't you come back to my house? I'm going to have a party. He's going to be there. Not weird at all. You know, you're in Barcelona. Why not? So they decide to go back to this guy's house. And he's like, oh, you made it. Go and, you know, have some drinks, food, sexual experiences. Yeah. He just said sexual experiences. I mean, doesn't that make a little light bulb in your head and be like, what? That's a little weird. So she's like, well, is Leo here? And he's like, you know, just go hang out. So they're there. And one of them starts doing a bunch of Adderall. The other one finds this guy and goes to the jacuzzi with him. Oh, and he's, you know, they're doing stuff. And he turns out he's married and his wife walks in on them. So she's like, oh shit, and starts running away. And the wife has a knife and like calling her a puta. The other one's running on, or she's not running, she's kind of on a elliptical. Because she's on Adderall. So she's there. The one that was looking for the DJ is super stoned. So she's like, we need to get out of here because we're going to get stabbed by this lady who just caught me and her husband together. So she's there running around trying to get all her friends together. And she goes and finds the one that's all high on the Adderall. She's like, oh shit, I just burned 4,000 calories on the elliptical. So she gets in and they leave just in time in the taxi, who I have no idea when it was called, but it's there. So they avoid getting stabbed. So they make it back to wherever they're staying. They don't actually make it to the hotel. They're all tripping. And the girl's like, oh man, I'm never going to get to see this guy. Should I call him or what? And one of them's like, well, your man, the DJ, is actually going to be in Ibiza. She's like, yeah, but I can't fly over there. And they're like, why not? She's like, well, I have an important work meeting because that's what this trip is all about. She's supposed to be working. And they're like, well, come on, you don't have to do the meeting until the following day. So we could just go to Ibiza. You can see your man. You can, you know, do him. And then you'll come back for the meeting. So long story short, they make it to Ibiza. They finally see him. So they have a plan. You know, go to the airport on time, go to the meeting, and that's it. Obviously, after she has sex with the DJ, she oversleeps, doesn't make it on the plane on time. So their friends did actually make it on the plane on time. So their logic is to pretend to be Harper and go to the meeting. So they do that. And they have the meeting and it's going fine and convinces the clients that, you know, to sign with her, the friend who is pretending to be Harper. And then the clients are like, well, okay, let's call your boss and tell him the good news. So they call their boss on webcam and they're like, well, say hi to your boss. And they turn around the cam and she's like, who the fuck are you? You're not Harper. And he's like, oh. Harper makes it to the place somehow. And she's like, oh shit. So she goes in and she's like, oh, like I'm Harper. Sorry, I was in a restroom. And she's like, so the boss doesn't believe her. Like, hey, I know you weren't there. You look like shit. Like, just wait till you get back. So it cuts off to them going back to New York. They go back to New York. She goes back to work. And the boss basically fires her. So she's like, well, fuck you. Thanks for firing me. Now I can pick up this company who was going to sign with you. And I'm going to start my own firm. The firm is for PR. And the boss is like, what? You can't fucking do that. And she's like, yeah, you fired me. So fuck you. I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want. So she does that. And they go on with their life. So then Leo, the DJ, calls her. And he's like, hey, well, I'm going to lay over in Paris. I'm actually going to Tokyo. Why don't you meet me there? She's like, yeah, no. I'm not going to fly to Tokyo to go see you. Like, if you want to see me, you can fly over here. And he's like, okay. So she hangs up, goes back to her friends, tells her what happened. They're like, what? You serious? Like, why don't you just go? And she's like, I'm not going to be flying all over the world to see this guy. If he wants to see me, he can come here. Props to the girl. I mean, yeah. She's knowing her worth. In other words. But that's how the movie ends. It's funny, but it has the usual plot. But it has one of those endings that you're just like, really? Is this how it's gonna end? Like, so you basically, you know, went around trying to find this guy and you finally got him and that's it. So you just slept with him and that's it. Like, you're not gonna pursue him anymore. Basically. You know, if he wants her, he can find her. So from a scale from 1 to 10, I give it a 5. Only because I like the actress who comes out in it. Because she's from Love. She's a good actress. She's funny. But it's just, it feels like it's forced comedy. So it's a watch. Not even a maybe watch. It's an ugh. You know, watch it at your own risk. Myra actually watched it too, and she said she didn't like it. I believe she gave it a 3. A don't watch. So you have that review. You think about it, you watch it at your own risk. The next one is the new coming of age love story called Alex Strangelove. So I was a little iffy in watching this movie. Only because there's another movie called Love, Simon. That just came out too. And it has more recognizable actors in it. And it's also based on a romantic teen comedy. But it's this guy who already knows he's gay. That's in Love, Simon. In Alex Strangelove, he's this guy who meets a girl, they become best friends, and they start dating. And it's basically, like, they've never actually had sex. So the girl, you know, saying, like, well, why don't you want to have sex with me? And he's like, well, you know, I wanted to be special. So he's still in he doesn't know that he's gay until they go to this party and he meets this guy named Elliot, who is actually out and gay, proud. He's cute. And they, you know, end up talking and they don't kiss or anything. I mean, but they have a moment. They share a moment where they look at each other. And then his girlfriend walks in and he freaks out. And so they leave. And they go back to her place and they go to sleep, whatever. Because, you know, she's drunk. And the next morning, this guy Elliot texts Alex. How? I don't know when they shared each other's number. Or if it's just a classic case of Facebook stalking. You know, because people do that. So they text each other and the guy invites him to some concert. And then his girlfriend wakes up and she's like, well, who are you texting? He's like, oh, that guy, Elliot, that I met at the party. He wants to go to some concert and he has an extra ticket. She's like, okay. He's like, you can come if you want, but he I think he only has one ticket. And she's like, no, like, you know, I'm hungover. I'm not going to go. But you can go. Not strange at all. Yeah, totally normal two guys going to a concert that you just met. No judging here. So they go, and while they're there, the guy realizes that he's at a gay club. You know, there's a bunch of gay guys coupling each other. Coupling, I mean, they're dating, they're making out. Yep. And he's like, oh. And, you know, he just looks at them. He doesn't know why he's interested in it, but he's there, very attentive. So after that, they go out and then they go have dinner. And they're having a moment again. And the guy's telling him, like, oh, you love this girl. And he's like, yeah, yeah, I do. And we haven't done it, but we will. And I'm nervous about it. So Elliot, I'm pretty sure Elliot already realizes that Alex is gay. But Alex himself hasn't realized what he's feeling, this confusion, these feelings that are all inside him, that he's actually liking this guy. So it proceeds to that. He eventually goes and tries to have sex with his girlfriend. But somehow, his little trooper does not get up. And she's like, well, aren't you into it? And he's like, yeah. But then he starts picturing Elliot. And he's like, I'm ready. But then while they're doing it, he starts asking her, isn't it this weird? And she's like, what do you mean weird? Yeah, it's weird because we were best friends and now we're doing it. So she's like, what the fuck? Like, why would you say that? So she stops it. They don't do it. And she's like, what's going on? Like, are you gay? And he's like, why? Like, gets offended and basically is like, why do you automatically assume that I'm gay? She's like, well, because you're not into me, which I'm your girlfriend. And I guess to play it off, because he still doesn't know, he's like, well, maybe I'm not into you. Just you. So they break up. And they're both bummed. So Alex's friend is like, well, let's go to this frat party, get drunk, forget about what's going on. Let's just have fun. So he decides to go, get super wasted, and tries to sleep with this girl. But yet again, his little trooper doesn't get up. So his girlfriend, Claire, walks in on him trying to have sex with this girl, and she's like, super pissed because she's assuming that they already had sex and he wouldn't have sex with her. So she's like, well, she must be the girl that you're into because you're not into her. So she leaves and he goes after her. Obviously, she hides, doesn't find her. So he's drunk. He goes into his yard. And there's a pool and he's just there, kneeling down, looking at himself, and remembering something that happened to him when he was younger. where he's in the shower and he got a boner amongst other little boys of his age, and they're like, "Oh, you're a faggot, you know?" And he's like, "No, I'm not. No, I'm not." So they push him. So I'm gonna assume that the reason why he had never thought about what he was feeling was because he was scared that these people were just, you know, gonna be mean to him or beat him up, or because it's not socially acceptable, according to him. So whatever. He at this point he realizes he's gay. So this girl, Claire, his girlfriend, finds him. She's like, "Are you okay?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm gay." So they're having this like what the fuck moment, right? Because the girl, she thought he likes another girl, but never thought he likes a guy. So they go back to her place, and it goes on like that. And then, you know, they discuss this. Did he always know he was gay? Did it just come up? And he starts telling her that he thought he knew when he was younger, whenever this thing happened where they try to beat him up. But he didn't do anything about it. So he, I guess, pushed it to the back of his head and didn't want to think about it because he was scared. But now realized that he liked Elliot. So whatever, they decide that they want to go to prom together as friends. And when they make it there, she's like, "Well, I got a surprise for you." He was like, "Okay." So it turns out she brings Elliot to prom as a surprise. And he's like, "Oh, like, but I came with you." And she's like, "Yeah, but if I didn't do it, you were never gonna do it. If I didn't push you to go to him, you were never gonna go to him, and he was never gonna go to you, and you were never gonna find out if it was gonna work out, basically." She's like, "You gotta start sooner than later, you know, acting on your feelings." So he goes to Elliot, and they're looking at each other. And then he notices that everybody else is looking at him, according to him, or according in his head. He starts freaking out, like, "Oh shit, everybody's looking at me because I'm with a guy." So he flips out and he's like, "I need to go to the bathroom." In the bathroom, he's freaking out. Elliot goes in there and he's like, "What's wrong?" He's like, "It's just everybody's looking." So Elliot's like, "Oh, okay, well, I'm gonna leave because, you know, it's enough being gay, and it's enough trying to date someone, but I guess being a secret homo in the closet is too much to deal with." So he leaves. Elliot's leaving, and then Alex, I guess, has a realization, like, what am I so worried about? You know, I'm gay. Why hide it? So he goes after him and very romantically grabs his hand and just steals a kiss. The longest, most romantic kiss. And he doesn't care who's watching because he really likes this guy. And that's how it ends. And well, actually, it doesn't end like that. It ends with him and Claire, Alex and Claire, doing a video cast show where he's, you know, telling his coming out story, and other people are sharing their coming out stories, and it's very cute. It's very romantic. I want to give it a strong 8. I won't give it a 9 or a 10 only because it's based on teenagers. You know, it's more relatable to teenagers at this moment. but it's a cute love story. Totally what happens when people don't know what they're feeling. All these confusing feelings that you're having when you're a teenager. You know, some people realize that they're gay at an earlier age. Some people will deny it the rest of their lives. You know? But to each their own. Very romantic. And this is a must watch.
It's very, very cute.
And that's it for this segment. Watch it or don't watch it. Netflix originals. They're getting better.
And those were the reviews for this week.
And again, if you have any suggestions for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Tonight's a Scene. And that's T0 Nights a Scene. That's on Twitter. Or if you're following me on Facebook, just shoot me a message. I'll take your suggestions for the next podcast. This is going to be a regular segment. Watch it or don't watch it. Netflix originals, like Karina. Sometimes I will be having special guests like Myra or anybody who wants to join. Give me a call. Send me a message. Something. You can join.
So thanks for listening. I'm out of here.